Coming up on TMS, the burper is back.
Vampire bats are out in force.
Don't eat those nuggets.
House of Clowns sounds delightful.
Best speeding ticket ever.
Tom's Tech Time.
Recommendals and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Smoke belly.
Smoke belly.
Smoke twice as refreshed.
Smoke twice as refreshed.
Because the filter's recessed.
Because the filter's recessed.
In new Bel Air.
In new Bel Air.
Menthol fresh Bel Air.
Menthol fresh Bel Air.
The Morning Stream.
The Morning Stream. Computer, stop the flow of time.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to TMS. It is the Morning Stream for May 31st, 2017, the last day of the month. Soak it up. Enjoy it, because June is right there, knocking at the door, ready to show you its wiener. So kind of creepy, but nothing you can do about it. It's going to be June whether you like it or not.
That's right.
You know?
Right. I think June would show you her boobs. I don't think June would show you his wiener. You it just so? Feels like well, if we're going to go that route right away, like right in cold, just...
yeah, cold wiener. Got it. So I'm a big
fan... Hey, I'm Brian Ibbett, everybody.
I'm a big fan of June, so bring June on. I like it as a month. Yes. It ends with Nerdtacular. Oh, a note about that, by the way. If you are someone who has purchased tickets to Nerdtacular and up to this point have been planning on coming, and as of yesterday still plan on coming, but suddenly today are like, oh no, I can't go. I wonder if I can get a refund. Yesterday was the last day.
Wow.
So that's a real helpful note, right? A day after.
Thanks for the warning.
Yeah, thanks for the warning, everybody. I just found out myself. So it's the way that... who do we do tickets with? Shoot.
Not Eventbrite.
Eventbrite.
It is Eventbrite. Okay.
Yeah, they have a pretty forgiving thing with that, where it goes a long time. Like BlizzCon tickets, you can only trade them for like what, the first month or something
the
weird.
The first month, I think, is it. Yeah.
So these are a lot more forgiving. It's been like 6 months since we put them on order. But anyway, yesterday was the last day. So if suddenly something comes up and you can't come, I don't know what to tell you. I guess the Eventbrite ain't gonna shell it out.
No.
Anyway,
they can sell it on their own to somebody else, right? Or no?
Oh, sure. Yeah, we don't. I mean, I'm so easy. It's disgusting. Yeah. They could do whatever they want with that. It's just there's no easy way to go like have it quickly sent back to your credit card or something, which is unfortunate. Right. But hey, it's the way of the world. Speaking of the world, here we are on a lovely Wednesday morning, and I got some news. I have a report to make. I'm here at the desk here. Brian's got his pen out. He's ready to take notes on my report on the burping man.
Right here. Tell me what's going on with burping man. All right.
sounds like a thing everyone flocks to in the Nevada desert every year, doesn't it? Burping man.
Burping man. Yes. Yeah. So they have a big, big inflatable dude.
Yeah.
And everybody takes turns hopping in his lap, and he goes.
He does that.
That's
when
it. That's actually it. Right.
Yeah.
There.
So the guy, we assumed a guy, we don't know, but the other day when I was telling you guys that outside of my window at like 3 o'clock in the morning, I heard some sort of burping sound outside, and some had written in and said, maybe it's the ducks, maybe it's geese, maybe it's a frog. Do you have frogs there? Do you have toads?
Yeah.
So everybody had all these ideas about what it might have been. And I admit at 3 o'clock in the morning, you're not in your most perceptive state. You know, it's possible. It could have been anything out there. Well, last night at about midnight, wasn't so late, midnight, maybe 12:30, I hear garbage cans being moved out to the street because today is garbage day. Mm-hmm. And that's not that unusual. Somebody forgot to do it earlier. They don't want to get up at 5 in the morning.
Sure.
Move your cans out at midnight. No big deal. That's a thing. But as this was happening,
and
I'm hearing these big Rubbermaid things scrape across the ground like you do, and it's quiet because it's, 12:30 in the morning. Nobody's really out. I hear the burps again. I think it's the electric car guy. I mean, I can't say for sure because I can't see from where I'm at, but I can definitely hear with that window open. And it's cans that were pulled over to my side of the back street. I'm almost sure it has to be him. First of all, he has weird hours, like he's always showing up at strange times. So that's one indicator. Second thing is he's only one of two people that would pull him to that part, and the other people are like a dentist and his wife, and I just don't see them out burping at 12:30 in the morning.
Yeah, probably not.
So I think it's that guy, and I don't think there's anything to do about it. Like, what what am I supposed to do? Like, there's not, I'm not even complaining.
Like, you roll down your window or open your window and go, hey,
hey,
people trying to sleep, quit your burping.
Yeah, quit that. What? Hello? Yeah, and then he runs off and throws a bear. But here's the point. Like, it's not even that big a deal. It doesn't even bother me. I just think it's weird. And it's not just like, you know, like a little under his breath thing. It's
right.
Like a full-throated burp.
Bronk.
Yeah. Maybe something's wrong with him. Maybe he's like that burping guy who can't control his burp reflex or whatever. And I should feel bad or, you know, take him a basket or something. I don't know. What would you do, Brian? What would you do?
Put a little container of Gas X in his mailbox and say, just thought you might need this.
Yeah, or Beano. How about Beano?
I don't know. Does Beano help with burps or just farts?
I thought Beano was the same stuff as Gas X. Because I think Gas X is the same stuff, isn't it? I don't know. Dan would know this. Dan, the tabletop man.
Right.
You know.
Dan is he's our line into all that stuff.
You know what
Sorry,
we'll
I'm
do.
Adjusting my camera here because I think you might have cropped me differently. And and people are like, I can't see Cover Cat.
Oh, well, that's
it
weird.
It doesn't matter. No, you don't change your thing. I can change my thing.
All right. Well, I'm going to text Dan right now and get confirmation on the Gas X question.
Oh, yeah, good. Ask him if Beano will solve burping issues.
X. Okay. We'll see what he says. It's just for fun, you know. I don't even actually, it doesn't even actually matter. But Dan, he's a resource. He's a guy that, he sees people come into that place every day and go, I need more opiates. or whatever, right?
Hi, do you have downers?
Excuse me? I was wondering if you had the basic materials needed to make meth at home. I think he gets some of that sometimes. Or at least he gets people who are like, yeah, my doctor said come here. Well, where's his note? Well, he said just to come. Well, okay, I'll call his office. What is it? Oh, I don't know the number. I forgot. What's his name? Right. Well, I don't remember that either. It's like, okay. Some addict is in here trying to get a handful of Percocet.
I know it only says refill twice, but I'm still in pain.
I was worried about my wife. That reminds me, I worried about my wife the other day. She comes home with three bottles that were prescription. I could see the prescription tag thing that's like hanging on the bag, and these three big bottles with what looked like horse suppositories, big fat ass pills, big huge, but not that big, but probably, I don't know, like half your pinky. They were big.
Right. Big size. Now, have you woken up recently with a little bit of pain down there?
Yeah, but feeling surprisingly refreshed. No, but she got these, and I looked at him. I said, honey, is there something you need to tell me? And I'm kidding. I'm mostly kidding when I said it. She plays my bluff, and she goes, all right, fine, I'll admit it. And for a half a second, I'm like, oh, no, she's going to tell me something terrible. Like, these are all like horse tranquilizers or something. And she goes, I have to admit, Nick and I get cold sores, so we had to get some medication for the cold sores. I'm like, I knew about that. She goes, well, that's what these are. What are you worried about? I'm like, okay, fine. Thanks. And walked away. But anyway, don't always assume the worst is all I'm saying, okay?
I do like the fact that Kim messes with you as much as the rest of us do.
Oh, yeah, she has to at this point. It took a few
maybe
years.
Maybe even more.
Took a few years for that to happen. I have a way, but see, when you're married for 20 plus years, 25 this year will be our year.
Yeah.
You get to know everything about each other. There's just no way not to, right? So she knows all the right buttons to push. I know the right buttons to push. Like, I really know how to get her. Like, okay, here's the thing. Then you may have a thing like this with Tina, so you can commiserate.
Sure.
I love the feeling of somebody lightly tickling my arm or my back, or it just relaxes me. Just take your hands and just lightly brush like this. I'm in heaven. It's the best thing ever. I'm just, okay, I'll sleep here. This is great. And I've always liked it. And my kids like it. So when they were little, you know, you'd scratch their back or whatever. And they loved it. Kim hates it.
Really?
With a burning passion.
Like heebie-jeebies kind of thing.
Yes, she hates it. So if I just even nonchalantly, like, I, you know, got my arm around her at a movie or something, and I'll just kind of lightly touch her arm or something, and she'll go, oh, like this. It just, like, it freaks her out. She hates it. Like it's spiders on her or something.
Fantastic.
So, okay. As you may have surmised, plenty of opportunities where I can just go, you know.
Right, of course.
And she'll go, do that, and I will kick you right in the gut. And I'm like, honey, it's fine. I'm just, you know, I'm just showing affection. And I'll start being real obnoxious and going, just like doing it barely. And she will want to kill me by the end of that. So all I'm saying is, it's good times. Being married's great. 25 years, you know each other's buttons. You push them once in a while just for funsies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And I can
rile them up.
Yeah. And I can tickle her into a frenzy, dude. Like into a, and she'll want to kill me. Like when I'm done, I have to get out of the house. I have to go somewhere else because if tickled her, she's
yeah. Mad. No, Tina gets angry and violent when I tickle her. This isn't like a I'm going to push your buttons kind of thing. No, this is like a you best move. You best get out of my sight.
Step off, Ibbot. Step off, Coverville, she'll say.
Yeah, exactly. So I can't. That's what I can't do.
I understand completely. All right. Well, I know one thing you can do, and that is play a game with me. Would you like to play a game?
I would, but I want you to send me video so I actually know who I'm talking to.
Oh, all right. This is Pete Johnson. My brother Scott is out.
Pete Johnson here.
Pete Johnson with the news. All right. Here's a quiz for Brian. You have no idea what this quiz is about.
No, none whatsoever.
I'm springing this on you. I'm not letting you see it, but I found one of these stupid BuzzFeed quizzes that I don't believe in normally. These are just dumb wastes of time.
So this is which Breaking Bad character are you? Something like that, right? Like, that's what the BuzzFeed stuff is usually.
Usually, yes. And it's usually like, oh, look, I'm Jesse Pinkman, everyone.
Which, like, Star Wars weapon are you?
Yeah, it's dumb. But I found one I kind of like, and I want to see if it works. Because I think I know you pretty well.
Yeah.
So I will know if this test is full of it or not.
You'd be one of my, you know, Tina would obviously be number one choice, but you would be up in the top five for people that I'd do the newlywed game with.
Sure.
You know, as far as being able to hold up the cards and be able to answer the
same thing. Know who would win that game, though, would be Dave, your crazy neighbor Dave.
Oh, yeah, well,
He has seen you in a few positions. He knows what's up. He knows what's up.
Yeah, but he can't remember any of them.
No, that's true. It's always a recreational pot filled haze.
So many brain cells have been destroyed next door. We can keep track. All right, lay it on me.
It's carnage. Here it is. This word test will reveal if you are introverted or extroverted.
Oh, okay.
Now, I already believe you to be extroverted. I already know that about you. You're very social. Sure. You want to go to Vegas. You want to hang out. You want to party, you know.
It's a pretty safe assumption. I think I'm a mix. I'm probably 60% extro, 40% intro.
Yeah, and I'm about the opposite of that. I'm about 40 extro, 60 intro. I like my alone time. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a health. Those are healthy ranges. You don't ever be the guy that's like 10% of one of those. That's bad. So here's your test, and let's see if you can do it. Now, what I'm going to give you is a partial word. And then you're going to tell me what word or what letter you would put in front of it or in it to make it finish being a word. So in other words, if I gave you the word, I'm trying to think of it. Like, I'll use a fake one. Like, if it was just the letters EE, what letter would you put in front of those? So it'd be blank EE. What letter would you use to spell it?
Free, for example.
There you go. So exactly. Except it'd be just a single letter. But in this case, that's a great.
All right.
That
so
totally
single
works.
Letter. Gotcha.
Totally works. So here you go. So that'd be like P or tree.
Right.
Key.
C or me. Yeah. Okay.
Cover fee. Whatever it is. All hail his name. All right. What word comes to mind when I tell you this? Blank O-L-D.
Blank O-L-D. CD. Cold.
All right. Well done. Let me mark that one. Okay. All right. Next one. S-E-E blank.
Saw. Seesaw.
Oh. Well, it has to be a single letter.
Oh, a single letter?
Yeah.
Seek is the first thing that came to mind.
Well done. So far, this is falling into their
bizarre. Place. Okay, yeah,
it's very weird. I don't know how the science of this is yet to be determined. We'll get to that at the end of it. Third option or third question: G A blank E. So you got to put a letter between the A and the E. G A blank M. E.
That's an easy one. Game.
All right, that's what I would have done as well.
Yep.
Fourth on the list: W A blank one letter.
Way would be the first thing W-A-Y.
All right. Well done. Fifth, blank A-T-C-H.
Catch.
Okay. Got it. Well done. So far, you're killing
this. A true extrovert would probably say watch. Watch. Hey, everybody, watch.
Catch. Watch. All right. Next one is blank O-S-S.
Loss. Okay. L-O-S-S.
All right. Next one is S-T-O blank E.
Stove.
All right. next
one. This is, boy, it does not get any more like first thing that comes to mind than that.
Yeah, it really does.
There's no way for me to game this system.
Yeah, we're not, and we have, I promise people listening, we have not done this ahead of time. This is all straight right. up in live. All right, next one is B-A blank K.
Bank.
All right. Ninth is, we're almost done here. Okay. S blank A-R.
Star.
Okay. All right. Now let's see what the results are. The word test will reveal your most if you're more introverted or extroverted.
Sure.
The answer is you are more extroverted.
What?
While you enjoy having time to yourself, you get lonely pretty easy, so you prefer to be around other people. You're fine with attention being on you, but that doesn't necessarily make you an attention seeker. You're just used to commanding the room and initiating conversation. Since your brain is regularly in need of stimulation, you tend to get bored easily, too. Does any of that sound right, or does that sound like 100%. Malarkey?
100%.
That is such malarkey, though, because they say things like, okay, did I tell you about the test I took in my college psychology course? It was
Let me tell you how that went.
The whole class came to class one day. Professor says, there's a test on your table. We all had a sheet of paper on the table. I need you guys to all fill this out, and at the end of it, I'm going to choose one of you and tell, and we're going to see if I'm, if what I interpret your test as, if that matches you or not, and you're going to, and the person who it is going to raise their hand. So the whole class took the test. It was all different answers, obviously. She collected them all, put them in a big pile. They were all the same color, so you couldn't tell which is which. Shuffled them all together, pulls one out, and then says, all right. Based on this test, I believe that you are you like to be with other people, but there are times you'd rather be alone. Like all of the, it was like the way it was written, it was you like the one thing, but you also like the other thing.
Exactly, exactly. And that, you know, it doesn't say like shades of it. It's not like you love cilantro,
right? Exactly.
You know, one of those things that would like be.
Yeah, and it was real. It was a real eye opener because she did it very straight, and we thought it was real. And she said at the end, "Raise your hand if this was you." And everyone raised their hand.
Sure.
And we went.
That's what I'm wondering. I'd love to
shit.
See.
You know?
So you posted a link or Stephanie Ray in Canada. Oh, we got to eat more Canada stuff. I have my frozen Macintosh thing. I have to go get it out of the freezer. But
I'll get it. We'll get it. Song break. We'll grab it then.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. But I wonder if everybody gets the same answer. Like if it's like Virgo, you enjoy sunshine and. You hate things that cause you pain.
Well, what impresses me is you got all nine of them. There are four options per choice. And it's so like when you said star, the other options were scar, sear, sore, and star. And you chose star. And the one before that, it was back, bank, bark, and bask.
Wow, so every time it was one of the four. I didn't realize it was four choices. I thought you were just typing in a letter, I'd say. So it was really giving you... I wonder if there are.
So what is it supposed to do?
S blank A R.
Right. Because what is supposed to do while you're looking that up? It's supposed to say.
Star,
you're supposed to look at it, see the blank in your head, think of the word, and then see if the word's of the as one of the four is what you're supposed to do.
M N O SOR SPAR. Was SPAR one of the choices?
No.
Oh, okay. So I was trying to think if these are words that only have.
Like
four options,
four spellings,
and they're
yeah.
just totally like pulling a fast one.
But you got it on every one of these. There was at least one included. I was afraid I'd have to go pick another because you'd think like under. I'm trying to think of one like OSS could be boss, loss, moss, or toss. You did loss, but you could have said Ross or you know
right
floss. But that's
two
letters.
That's the thing. I mean, yeah, one letter boss.
Yeah, man, boss is on there.
Oh, boss was on there.
Yeah. Boss, loss. Boss, loss, moss, and toss were the four that were here.
Boss, goss, hoss. I could have said hoss.
You could have said hoss. These all end up being pronouns, though, right? Like,
yeah,
it's weird.
Yeah, exactly. And they probably tell you at the beginning you can't use a pronoun.
Right.
Joss, which is also and that's spelled differently.
Right.
Joss Loss. Moss
is on there. Moss is on there. The attorney, listen, the yeah, law offices, it's the perfect law firm. The law offices of Boss, Loss, Moss, and Toss. Let us know if you've been in an accident.
Yeah, I think they're, I just wonder what it has to do with introvert, extrovert, too, depending on what letter I use to fill the thing. And I mean, I guess, you know, Loss would seem like a more, melancholy word to choose.
And cold, for example. You chose cold.
Right, I chose cold as opposed to bold.
Yeah, and by the way, bold is one of the other choices. So,
of course it would have to be, yeah.
So, what's the science here? There's none. This is my problem with BuzzFeed. Like, these are kind of fun and silly, but somewhere someone's taking this seriously. This is as good as reading your freaking palm. It's just bullshit.
Right. Well, I want to know, so people who've done that link, I want to know if you get exactly the same answer that Scott you are an extrovert, but you there's sometimes you like to be alone, but sometimes you crave attention. You like, you know.
I'll tell you what, we could probably force it. How long would this take? Let's just go. Okay,
pick the first option on every.
Okay, so we got bold, seed, gale, war, batch. Let's make a fun sentence when I'm done.
Sure, it's like Mad Libs.
Boss, stole, back, and final one, scar.
Oh, wow.
That's extroverted. So same thing as yours.
Yeah, Whistle 034 got solid introvert, so definitely got something different. KJ Linden in the chat room got exactly the same thing. Musical Chemist got more extroverted.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Captain Kipper got more introverted. So
it just seems like if you're going to have a test, it should say this test is based on the idea of the Bibber. Give me some theory or something.
Right. The Carnegie Mellon Smetch test of 1976.
Anything. I'd take Cove Fief. If you had it. Man, what a night. That was a pretty amazing night last night.
What was great is actually watching all the different newscasters try and pronounce it. Because, what's her name? Savannah Guthrie pronounced it Covfefe.
Covfefe? Really? Really?
Covfef, yeah. Covfef. It's like, what? Is this really news? The president had a typo. He didn't realize he was going to cancel and rethink about just sum up the exact right tweet. Yeah. And accidentally hit the button to send and didn't realize it went to bed and blah, blah, blah.
The only reason it's funny and works is because it's actually pronounceable, or it's arguably pronounceable. And so you can have fun with it, like, he summoned the Dark Lord Kofi finally, who's come to trample, you know, like that kind of stuff's kind of fun.
Right.
He meant coverage. I even could read the sentence. It's the word coverage, but that's what you get when you're this guy. This is the kind of scrutiny you're going to get. There's no way to get around it.
Exactly.
Here's the worst part though. You go to CNN, at least this morning. I know those headlines change all day, but if you go to CNN.com, FoxNews.com, and MSNBC.com, that was the lead story.
Yeah.
Kofi. If you go to BBC, it's about the Paris deal, or it's about some other thing. Like, what's wrong with us? That is not new. That's not front page news. I'm sorry. It's not. It should never be front page news. Okay? This is not.
He's an idiot because he has a typo, everybody. Everybody, he's an idiot because he has a typo.
It is like, I mean,
MPHM, he typoed.
The jokes were hilarious, and I enjoyed that on that level. But at some point, stop, everyone. Just stop. It's just, he screwed up. He typoed. I can't believe I'm defending this man. But he just made a typo.
Exactly.
We all do it. It's like when somebody uses your and your, you are, without the apostrophe, and they'll just put your.
No, I draw the line there, Scott. No,
what I'm saying is sometimes someone will do that. Autocorrect will do it, or they just aren't thinking and they whip through it. And then when you're done, it's like whatever you were saying is completely lost to the fact that you used your instead of you are. It's just a weird human thing.
Yeah, but
thing.
I can't get behind anybody who messes up the different forms of your or messes up the different forms of their. No, sorry. Delete your mute, block, and nuke from orbit. Yeah. Sorry, that's.
And I guess, you know what, I'm not defending Trump's stupid. His tweets are all stupid as far as I'm concerned. my consternation is just the news media jumping on this like it's the hot news. Right. No, it's not.
Oh, I know.
It's not news. It's a typo on Twitter. Worthy of making fun of, worthy of Twitter threads that are kind of a hoot, worthy of Codfief, the Destroyer Twitter account, which is really funny. You guys should totally follow it. I've been summoned to this world, and I do not know why, was his first tweet. And he's great. So do that stuff. That's fine. That's what the internet's for. We're supposed to be jerking around and showing kittens. That's our deal.
Right.
But it's not front page news, CNN. It's not. It just isn't. All right.
No. I'd much rather watch a video of what's his face? Spicer getting angry during the press conference.
Well, there was a great picture of Spicer. I think it was Zach Braff tweeted it. It was Spicer, a photo of Spicer, and then below saying, "Do not believe the fake news media. Codfief is a word, and not only is it a word, it's the greatest word ever uttered." So there
terrific.
You go.
All right.
We're going to take a quick jump into the news here. Hold on. Okay. Where is it? Here it is right here. This is the news, and it's brought to you by...
Trevor Harrison is a man roaming the country searching for his place when an old friend contacts him with a client who could use his special skills. What skills are those? Trevor is a very large, tough man with psychic powers. However... this world is full-blown magic and many powerful wizards. Now a woman wants... I just wonder where this is going.
Yeah.
Now a woman wants protection from a group of these powerful beings who may want her dead. Can Trevor protect her life? I can't do it.
Keep going. I want to hear your reading. This is good.
Can he even figure out from where the dangerous... now I just can't stop laughing. All right. Okay, here we go.
All right.
Totally Jimmy Fallon, this whole damn thing.
Yeah.
Can't even figure out from where the danger is coming. Poison Magic is a new novel by Tad Pooligan, Josh Sanders, a.k.a. The Mule. It is up for pre-order now on Inkshares. Come help one of our own realize his lifelong dream.
I promise we're not laughing at Josh.
So close.
We're not laughing at Josh, we promise. There's just something about the tone of this that is funny.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah. I don't know what
realize
is.
His lifelong dream and get the first book in a great new world. A world with psychics and psychics.
You're killing me.
So totally broken. Okay.
Oh my gosh.
All right, here we go.
All right. All right. You got one or more, one sentence
more
left.
Sentence.
Yeah.
A world with psychics and cyclops, wizards and weddings, magic and muscle cars. Go to Inkshares. All right. Inkshares.
Oh, my Lord.
A two-hour show today, everybody. Inkshares.com/books/poison-magic and pre-order your copy today. Oh. That's inkshares.com/books/poison-magic and pre-order your copy today.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, that's a new one for the show. Oh, man. I don't even know where to go from here. Good night, everybody.
I don't either. Yes, exactly.
All right. Well,
it does sound really cool. For whatever reason, the combination of things, like
it just all worked. Something
it
about
just all
it
worked.
Really amazing.
Exactly.
Now I want to read the book.
I hope it actually exactly. I'm hoping that actually helps
and not helps hinders. Sales. Yeah, that'd be good. A man has died. Oh, this here's a way to bring us down. This will get us.
Jeez.
Man died and 40 others have been bitten after vampire bats attack humans in Brazil. Not just vampires. I didn't want to...
Vampire bats. Well, yeah, sure.
That would have been fake news that vampires are real. But
no, vampire
bats.
Very real.
Yeah, they're very real. I didn't know they attacked people. But anyway, victims report walking or waking rather, to find their bed sheets soaked in blood. Ugh. The outbreak is the largest wave of attacks ever recorded in the region. The death is the first recorded case of human rabies transmitted by a bat in Brazil since 2004. The heady days of 2004. One of the victims, Matthias Andrade, who lived in the historic center of the city, said, "I was bitten three times! When I woke in the morning, I found the bed was wet. It had been raining overnight, and I thought water had dripped in, but it was my blood!
Ugh.
It was such a shock. The wound was tiny but deep, the blood was dark and thick, and the area wouldn't stop bleeding, even when I tried washing it off." Ugh. Last Saturday, 27th of May, disease control teams from Bahia State Health Authority, or CESAB.
They obviously used a different set of letters for that.
Yeah, they did. What?
Well, it's because it's Brazilian.
Oh, right.
No.
Yeah, which is a shaving your butt hair, right? Isn't that the deal there? when isn't that what a Brazilian is? I think that's what that is.
Not necessarily butt hair. I think it's pubic hair.
I think a Brazilian's like a full blown like undercarriage
job.
No,
that's just manscaping.
I think that's I think you're wrong on that. Hold on here. This is perfect show material. Brazilian wax. Let's find out what that is.
I mean, it's the whole business. It's
style of wax. Let's see. Hold on. Bikini waxing. First bikini or Brazilian. Everything you know before getting a Brazilian. First Brazilian wax.
If you have image search on, this discussion will be over in 30 seconds.
I don't want to do that necessarily. Someone in the chat can explain. How do those work? It is. See, Scott's right.
Pile 82 says Scott is right, butthole wax, but it's the whole thing. It is the entire.
Yeah, the whole undercarriage. Yeah, it's everything.
No, the whole pubic area, too.
Yeah, the entire, like, the whole diaper.
Okay. I'm sorry. I thought you were just saying it's just the anus.
No. No, I am not saying that. I think it's all or nothing with a Brazilian is the deal.
Gotcha. Okay.
Anyway.
We're in agreement. We're just, we came at it from different directions. Ba-dum-bum-ba-dum-bum.
Brian came at it from the front. I came from the back. anyway, there's bats. There's bats. That's what's going on there. Let's talk about chicken nuggets. Always Please. In the news. Self-published claim says eating too many chicken nuggets can turn you gay. You might become one of the gays.
Oh, no.
If you eat too many chicken nuggets. This is a self-published study.
Completely and totally valid.
Yeah, I put quotes up there for everybody. Claims that eating too many fatty foods can cause homosexuality and make you transgender. Author Rita Strakosha says she has an MPS degree in clinical psychology from Albanian University. What the hell's that?
Albania.
Yeah, but why?
It's on the Adriatic.
But are they?
Don't you remember the song by the coach? The coach used to remember on Cheers, Albania.
Oh, right, he did. Are they known?
The Adriatic.
Are they known for their bullcrap studies in that university in Albania?
No, I think it's specifically Rita Strakosha.
Okay, we don't want to throw the whole school under the bus.
No.
She sent a 56-page document to Pink News. After self-publishing it as an ebook on Amazon. In the document, she has also put up for free on her website, this attempts to link homosexuality to an unhealthy diet. It claims homosexuals often eat large amounts of high glycemic index foods and fat, like nuggets, or eating an imbalanced diet leaning toward carbohydrates. Some studies show an increased rate of obesity among homosexuals. Gay men, lesbian, and bisexual women report higher odds of sugar or sweetened beverage consumption than straight men and women. This is pure hokum.
Complete hokum.
It's a bucket of hokum.
So you eat too many fatty foods, it'll turn you gay.
I know a lot of non-gay fatty food eating lovers. This is bull crap. Anyway, she says access to a high-calorie diet and alcoholic drinks was limited to the social elite circles in the past. Homosexuality as well appears to have been more frequent among that group. Yeah. Rita.
May I bring to your attention Mr. Chris Farley?
That man was the last. He was the furthest from gay.
Can I bring you to your attention Dom DeLuise or John Candy?
Yep.
Or
all the died early guys.
Right.
Isn't that the deal
Gosh,
with all
no
them?
Kidding.
Yeah.
Well, Dom DeLuise is still alive, isn't he?
No. Oh, no. Dom DeLuise died.
Really? Yeah. Oh, did he?
Yeah, his sons are alive. The ones that do Stargate and other things.
Right, right, right.
Okay. You never see an 80-year-old obese person, do you? You ever see that?
No.
You don't?
So gotta chill it.
I worry about that. Out. Yeah. That's why I gotta get this extra 40 I put on since November. I gotta get rid of it.
How old is Louis Anderson?
60-something.
Okay, so
his brother just died.
Yeah, 1953, so yeah, 64.
Yeah, let's see. Yeah, I worry about him a little. I really like Louis Anderson. He's incredible on that TV show that I recommended a few weeks ago.
Baskets, yeah, that's what I hear.
Unbelievable. Canada in the news. Sweet, we love these guys. They're the greatest. We love them. They're way up there in Canada, and we like to talk about them and stuff. They've got a creepy clown house ready and for sale in Ontario.
Great.
Yeah, house full of clowns, clown dolls, evil killer clowns, all this kind of stuff. Clown phobias are real, so I don't know who wants to buy this thing, but apparently this is a deal. There is a house that looks fairly normal, but it has a secret. Hundreds of clown dolls. The home is filled up with clowns and is for sale. Let's see, but this is all a bunch of hokum in the article. Here we go. That is exactly what potential buyers set to face when they head to this bungalow, which has been put on the market in Ontario. I know you've said that like three times, article. In a section of photos.
What do you expect from a website called MrHarryBritt.com?
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. And then later, halfway through the article, it says, you guessed it, clowns.
After three paragraphs of clowns.
The description is charming brick bungalow on quiet street close to schools and parks. Cozy and gently lived in, meticulously maintained. Detached cedar garage shed with lots of parking and well-kept lawn. Same owner for 30 years. Also in that description. Let's see. You go down a bit. Where is it? Anyway, the thing's just full of clowns. Here, I'll show you guys a photo.
Is there a photo on this page?
Yeah, I'll show you guys what this looks like. Hold on. Let's see.
So the existing owners aren't going to take the clowns with them?
I guess not. I guess they don't want them or something. Let's see what this video is. This might be interesting.
One thing that could be truly horrifying. Clowns.
Great. All right, this is Harry Britt talking to us, getting all excited. Let's skip ahead.
He doesn't look anything like that that drawing, that online thing that you could make and do avatars of yourself.
Oh, no. Yeah, it doesn't look like that at all, turns out. Okay, well, that was dumb, and I'm sad I looked at this ever. Oh, he's a YouTuber.
Yeah. Well, of course he is.
Mr. Harry Britt.
Yeah.
Let's see what else he does, just for fun. Visit my YouTube channel. Let's go see what his YouTube channel is. Don't forget to like and subscribe, it'll probably say. Let's see. He's got...
Hello, you. Welcome to my channel.
Okay. He's got 14,000 subscribers. So we're all right. We're good. He's got a playlist called Naked News and Funny Nude Porn News.
Funny nude porn news.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Yeah. His first hashtag is NSFW. Good luck to you there, the Harry Britt. May you ever find love and peace in your life. Finally, in a story that warms my heart, a man got busted driving at exactly 88 miles per hour in his DeLorean. Now, if he'd have gone 88.8, he'd have my attention. Because isn't that the number?
No, just 88.
I thought it was 88 point something, no?
No. You're thinking of the 0.21 gigawatts.
Oh, that might be what I'm thinking of then.
Yeah, the 1.21 gigawatts. No, it's just 88 miles an hour.
All right, so he got busted doing that speed. His name is Spencer White. He hit the magic number on Highway 14 in California. He didn't hear Dr. Emmett Brown yelling about 1.21 gigawatts, or however he said it.
Right.
But he did hear a police siren. Officer showed White his radar gun, which had clocked him going at exactly 88. White said, he asked me how fast I thought I was going. All of us started busting up laughing. White shared an image of the radar gun on Facebook. It was rapidly swamped with messages from Back to the Future fans.
So wait. So Spencer White wasn't necessarily trying to do this because he was in a DeLorean and really wanted to have a ticket that showed... His DeLorean was going 88 miles an hour.
I think he was either wanting to... That's a good question. Maybe he knew he was going to get busted. Maybe he...
I bet he didn't. I bet he was just driving really fast. What's this Back to the Future thing you're describing? I don't know. I've never seen that movie.
That'd have been funny if he didn't even have any idea it was just somebody else's car. Let's see.
Oh, geez. This guy's got like the neon lights under his DeLorean.
He knows. He knows what's up. You're looking for a flux capacitor?
I'm wondering if he's got one in the back there. I bet he does. Now that I'm zooming in on the back there, I'll bet that's a flux capacitor back there that I'm seeing.
Could be.
In the photo.
He's got a photo here of the cop's radar gun. He's got a photo of the ticket, the actual citation. Did he end up giving him a warning? Or let's see. Exceeding. Yeah. Max speed supposed to be 65. He was doing 88 and a 65.
Jeez, that radar gun looks like it's been through some stuff.
Yeah, it's seen better days.
Yeah. I mean, when every picture on the thing is credited to Spencer White, here's a picture of the ticket. So Spencer White credit.
Yep.
Great Scott, Spencer White. Okay, so he was doing this on purpose. He wanted to get caught.
Yeah, but I wonder if that's what I'd do. I might do that
even,
too.
Even as a speedometer thing on his dashboard with push tape, like where you push the letters through the black tape that says set to 88.
Yeah.
So, okay. He knew exactly what he was doing.
Yeah, I know, but this guy's not fooling us. Can't fool us. We know what's up. Oh, look at that cool DeLorean, though.
It is a really cool DeLorean.
Yeah, I kind of want
it. He takes good care of it. It almost looks like that must be, he must be parked at the house they used as the set, because that is the, I think that's the Back to the Future house.
Oh, and there's that post in the back, like a, not post, what am I trying to say? It's like a, not a tree. That thing in the back looks like the power line pole that's in that movie. I think that is that house. I think Brian's right. Good eye, Brian.
The power line pole?
Yeah, isn't there a power line pole back there? Or is that a tree?
You mean the directly above
the DeLorean, above the house?
Yeah, the straight thing?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but the power line was at the clock tower, not at
Marty's house. I know that, but in Marty's house. Here, hold on.
Yeah, I guess I'm confused.
Marty's house was always right next to these big poles, and I always noticed it when I was a kid.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay. So no, I never noticed that.
Oh, there it is. You know what? It's not poles. It's a tower. So okay. Here, I'll send you a thing.
It's like a cell tower or something,
it's
right?
It's awful. Here. I'll put it in the chat. Okay. It's like big radio tower-looking things that I used to think I couldn't live there. That'd be awful. Hmm. That would be bad. Yeah, see those?
Oh, right. Gotcha. The,
I still have
Oh, I guess that's not the, that isn't the right house. There it's a go. Similar looking house, but nope, not the,
it's
not the Marty house.
Aww.
Nope, not the McFly domain.
You don't think they did, they haven't kept it up or something? Oh, no, you're right. This is, there's a modern one here and the one from the movie, and it's painted different at one point, but that's it.
Yep.
Oh, weird. This, I found a really cool site that shows before and afters of that house. All right, I got to stop looking at this. Plus, this video is about to autoplay, and I'm going to be pissed.
Hold on. No.
Get out of there. Okay, we're back, everybody. let's take a little break. When we come back, we're going to test some food and then call Tom and then talk to Nicole. We got all kinds of stuff planned, so come on back for that. But, Brian, you probably ought to play some music before we go get our
plus we've
thing.
Got like a 6-minute song we're going to be playing here for the so it works out very well that we're doing this. This is some cool electronica. This is a band called Late Guest at the Party, and they are from New York, but by way of Italy. Italian born and bred, now New York based. Late Guest at the Party are releasing a these really cool this and another track, Give You a Life and Uh-Oh. We're going to play for you Uh-Oh. These guys worked with producer Caleb Shreve, who worked with Tegan and Sarah and Fantagram. And in 2014, they released their sophomore LP Repeater with Shreve on vocals, as well as a series of remixes for artists like Wakey Wakey, Kay Flay, and Fantagram. Now they are without a vocalist, so they're basically kind of starting from scratch. This is a way for them to kind of explore their instrumental side of things. And this is great. This is the song Uh-Oh. Again, it's by the band Late Guest at the Party. It's brand new, and check them out. We'll be right back.
By noon, I need them 8,000 hens moved into their new cages. Now, sometimes they don't want to cooperate, but you give them a good shaking, they'll settle down for you.
Do the chickens have large talons?
Do they have what?
Large talons.
I don't understand a word you just said.
Maybe barfing's going out of style now.
The Morning Stream. Get your ass to Mars.
All right, we're back, everybody. Got my frozen deal here.
Me too. Frozen Macintosh. Just reboot it.
My broke.
That's all right. It's toffee. It's supposed to break.
Is it supposed to? Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it broke before I refrigerated it. Hopefully it's
yeah, I think that's right. Fine. I think I'm going to try and break mine now. I should have broken mine before.
So should we do that? Just kind of shatter it?
Stephanie Ray says, smack it.
Okay.
I actually still have my pink pig. I still have my pink pig smashing hammer right here.
Oh, look at that. I'd probably do two somewhere. Oh, I don't know where that went. Ah, I think go. I moved it. I don't know where I put it. Okay, we have got... Mine's shattered pretty sufficiently.
And so let's open this up. Suck on the pieces, says Stephanie. Okay.
Suck on the pieces. Well, wow, this really is like a rave now. Okay.
Just let it rest on your tongue.
Yeah, man.
So you start feeling like you're floating.
Okay, so you don't want to... I probably don't want to chew these because they're going to pull my freaking crown off or something. Oh, these are good.
Dang right, musical chemist. Of course I still have the pink pig hammer. Ash-ash-got.
I don't think I could chew that if I wanted.
No.
If I tried to
take out one of your fillings, your fragile fillings.
Yeah, they're dainty. Mm-hmm. You know? It's like a little old lady nestled in there. Ooh, I don't want to...
Dainty fillings.
Yeah, I won't mess that up. Oh, these are great. Oh, yeah, this is like, it's like having a... It's like shards of Werther's or something.
Oh, yeah, totally. I can see why you freeze it, too.
Yeah, it's really good.
I can see why you freeze it.
Nice. Well done. All right, well, there's that. I think we should get Tom in here.
Let's get Tom in here, sure.
Now, there's a tiny chance he's off doing a dog thing, but I don't actually know this for sure.
If he is, we'll just make up some tech news.
All right, hold on a minute.
Yay!
People waited 7 hours to get into the Guardians thing. Tom,
waited 7 hours to ride the new Guardians of the Galaxy ride.
I have a theory on why.
Tom Merritt is here. You know what? I'll play his theory. Thing.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
It's Tom Merritt, everybody. Tech Time Talk. Listen, here's the thing. You were just at Disneyland, so you probably have finger on the pulse of this a little bit. Why would people wait 7 hours in line for the Tower of Terror Gardens of the Galaxy revamp thing?
Okay, so think about it this way, and this doesn't have too much to do with my recent experience. I was there in the last week before Guardians opened.
Yeah.
So it was up there, you could see it was done, everybody's talking about it, sounded exciting. A lot of people coming to Disneyland didn't drive 40 minutes down the highway like I did. They traveled from far and wide. Some people, particularly to say, I'm going to be there on opening day for that Guardians ride. Now, if that's sure. you've got one day in the park and the whole reason you went there was for that, then you're not getting out of line. You get up to that line and they're like, it's 6 hours. You're like, well, that's why I came.
That's what we're doing.
I am not going away without riding this 2-minute ride.
Wow. That's insane. What changed about the ride? Do we know, Brian? Like, did it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So it's a whole new experience inside, obviously, with the Guardians, but even the queue, you go through the collector's collection, all sorts of Marvel Easter eggs hidden in there. And then the ride itself is one of six different videos or video experiences, interactive experiences with the cast, as well as six different 70s, 60s and 70s songs.
Okay.
So.
But the deal is you still go and then drop.
Yeah. Yeah, but not, it's not like, from what I've seen, there was a news video floating around where one of the newscasters does it live. Yeah, it's hilarious.
Yeah. It looks like Fresno, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. And it looks like there's way more pauses and then a drop and then a pause and you think it's over and then a drop and then another pause and then a drop. It seems like it's a little bit longer experience.
Like multiple Towers of Terror, basically, kind of.
Right. Multiple Towers of Terror.
All right.
And then David S. Pumpkin shows up.
Any questions?
Yeah, any questions? Well, all right. That's neither here nor there. It's not really tech related at all. In fact, there's technology. Well,
there's a lot of technology to keep you from falling out of that thing.
That's true. And a lot of lawyers to make sure they're covered in case you do. But Tom Merritt comes on the show on Wednesdays. We talk about technology and the things therein. What's happening today? What's going on? I don't even know. Today's a weird day.
Well, it's Computex going on. So we got a lot of like announcements that are. In a lot of senses, not surprises, because what companies will do is they'll say at CES, for example, Windows is going to be out on ARM later this year. And everybody's like, oh, well, that's interesting, you know, power efficient. And Microsoft had said not only is it going to be on ARM, but it's going to have emulation so that we won't have the same problem we had with Windows RT, where you don't have any software for it. At Computex, Microsoft announced that HP, Lenovo, and Asus are making laptops with Qualcomm Snapdragon 835 processor with the X16 LTE modem built in. They should have 50% longer battery life. So nothing new in the announcement of it, but they're like, here's more details. Here's who's making them. Here's roughly when we think we can expect these to come out sometime by the end of the year. No prices or anything. So there's a ton of stuff like that. What I want to talk to you about today, Scott, in our main discussion, is this study from a bunch of researchers and scientists and scholars from the US, Germany, and the UK on why people don't use secure tools.
Oh, all right. That's interesting.
Everybody knows if I want to be secure, I should make HTTPS connections everywhere. I should use end-to-end encryption on everything, all of that sort of stuff. Why aren't people using WhatsApp for all of their communications just to be safe? Why aren't people using other stuff? And basically, it comes down to people overwhelmingly use the tool that will allow them to communicate with the other person. It's the fragmentation. There's other reasons. Quality of service is one of them. Sometimes cost is one of them. But the big reason is I want to talk to Scott, and Scott ain't using Signal.
Yeah, good point, right? Like, if everybody's got everyone has a phone, so you just use an SMS because, you know, you didn't have to do anything
to
get that.
Which is the least ubiquitous, secure way to right. talk to people.
It's easily the least secure. So when some friends recently, Terpster got a new phone, picked up a Google Pixel in the UK, and suddenly we were presented with this thing like, oh, we're not going to use iMessage anymore. What are we going to do? And he's like, well, I use WhatsApp. You want to use that? And I said, yeah, that sounds fine. And it was my first need for it. And I can see why people would be slow to do it, because if you don't have a need or there's not an overwhelming need, it seems inconvenient or a pain or whatever. And I think the common person, and I don't mean to make people sound common and not educated, but most people are just like, well, I'm just trying to tell my friend I'll be at the movie in 10 minutes. Like, they don't care.
Yeah, right, right. So. Well, and the other thing they found in this research was when people had sensitive conversations where they're like, oh, you know what? I don't want I'm going to be talking about my rash or something like that. I don't want the CIA to know.
Yeah.
They did voice communications.
Oh.
So people incorrectly assess what's actually secure. They, you know, people like, oh, I don't want to write that down in a text message. Someone could see it.
Yeah.
So they use voice communication, which often is even less secure than the text. Like, if you're using WhatsApp and then you make a Skype call instead, you've just gone less secure, to be honest.
Yeah. It's like people who think I don't know if this is true anymore, but it used to be pretty prevalent where people would assume that it was less secure to use your credit card online than it was to whip it out at a store and hand it to somebody who would take it in the back room and maybe come back with
it. Right, right, yeah, yeah.
Far less secure.
Or a restaurant.
Yeah, a restaurant. And it's the only times I've ever had to cancel cards because of theft, it's only happened never twice to me, and both times were my wife in an airport and my wife somewhere else down south. And maybe it's my wife. But anyway, they were both like, you know, public places. The airport was just picking up some food for her and the kids, and somebody had one of those little portable things, took in the back room, stole her card, and then later that night bought a giant 65-inch TV at the time. And, you know, that was the least possible secure thing, whereas I've never had fraud online with my card. So I totally understand that, and I get that. But, like, aren't there issues with, like, I don't know. Like, is it purely just convenience? Like, I would love it if everybody I talk to used WhatsApp and we had encryption. Thank you. Encryption is the word I was looking for. Hey, Tom, looking forward to talking to you today at 2:30.
As an example of someone who can't say the word.
I mean, my word got end-to-end encrypted as I said it. Anyway. But my point is that, you know, I could go to all my friends and family and say, hey, Mom, hey, everyone, please start using WhatsApp. And they'd go, well, why? No one else I'm talking to does. Like, there's no impetus for them to move. And so that seems like the biggest thing holding them back. And that's frustrating because,
you know. Yeah, so I want to talk about our own foibles. Like, not that either one of us would use an insecure way of sending truly sensitive information, but why is it that, you know, I use SMS all the time. So I want to talk about that today on the show. I want to talk a little bit more about the other things that they found with people, kind of answering some of your questions of like, well, why is it so hard to get your mom to move over to this other app and stuff like that. Also, I don't know if you remember Mary Meeker. This may sound familiar to some of you. She is a Kleiner Perkins partner, a venture capital firm. And she gives out a report every year, has been doing it forever. If I'm right, I think it stretches back into the 90s. Yep. It's essentially the unofficial state of the union of technology. Yep. So we've got her slides just came out. People are pouring through them looking for trends and interesting insights from her. So we'll be talking about that as well.
Yeah, I feel like every year, I don't know why it always ends up on Wednesdays, but I feel like we always get the chance to talk about her. So I'm excited.
Yeah, it does feel like that. Maybe she just always puts it out on Wednesday.
Yeah, it's really weird. Anyway, looking forward to that. 2:30 Mountain Time, Daily Tech News Show for details. That'll be live, of course. Tom, me, Roger will be there. It's fun having a topic this early. I know you got some dog stuff to do this morning. So that's good.
I'm taking Ray to a place where she can go run around. They call it doggy daycare. It always sounds really weird to say doggy daycare, like they're kindergartners or something. But yeah, it's a place where she can go and get socialized. She needs to be around other dogs and get socialized because she's young and everything. So I'm taking her there for a temperament test, which I get super nervous about. Like it's a failing on me somehow, you know. And Sawyer, who I'm not going to lie, Sawyer has problems. Mm-hmm. Sawyer has passed every temperament test he's ever been. So it's probably going to be fine, but I'm really nervous.
It'll be fine. He'll look at you judgingly, make a little checks on his little list and walk away, whoever does the test. So don't worry about it.
She has a little shedding.
It's like that list the Lane got on with all our doctors. So it reminds me of. Well, listen, it's going to be fine. Don't worry about it. And they'll find out soon enough that Ray is force sensitive, and they'll figure out what to do with that. So
it's not a problem. She's just going to be to the person that's evaluating her, get out of my head.
I love that idea. Anyway, more on that later. We'll look forward very much to 2:30 today. Thank you, Tom Barrett, for being here. We'll see you next Wednesday.
All right. Thanks, Neil.
Bye now. I can't find the button. This is great.
Click.
There it is. All right. Okay. Well.
Okay.
What do you think about we have recommendals. I have disappointing news about recommendals today, but that's fine.
I'm gonna guess you haven't watched something.
I've not seen anything new, but I did start watching something you recommended, so I feel like I'm at least doing my homework. Okay. Let's pull Nicole in. Okay.
Okay.
You've just seen her. You guys had a little barbecue-y thing. Lunchy
we did,
thing.
Yeah. Hung out on their the deck in the back of their house, which is fantastic.
Yeah, it's a nice big deck.
Ate some pulled pork. It's huge. It's huge and luxurious.
I like luxurious decks are my favorite kind of decks. Mm-hmm. That sounds like a thing Nicole would have. All right, here's a thing right here. Oh, Nicole. Nicole Spag, everybody, coming on the show on Wednesdays to do recommendals. Nicole, how are you?
I'm great.
Happy. Listen, luxurious decks are nice. That's a great thing.
They're nice.
Yeah. I like a nice deck.
I made a decision, Brian. We don't get it together enough. So I text you. We need to have a regular, the first
game
Friday
night.
Every month. Mm-hmm. And, you know, alternate. You come here, we go there. And just fun.
That's a great idea.
Because I keep buying games, and let me tell you, the kids are now all out and about. Simon and Tristan are all always doing their own thing, or if they're home, they've got friends over and they're watching a movie or doing something. And they were, they were our game partners, and so we need new game partners. And I nominate the Spags.
Right. We will totally be your game partners. I'll even make you cinnamon snails.
What the hell is that? Explain that.
They're
cinnamon rolls.
The cinnamon rolls that I posted. I made homemade cinnamon rolls last night.
Oh, I did see the pictures.
You had a recipe.
Cinnamon,
That sounds.
They're cinnamon snails.
That sounds great. They sound lovely. Are they? I assume they're they're like cinnamon rolls, right? Like they're gooey and all that.
Well, they're not
a hard, crusty shell and a salty interior.
They're not that gooey.
Yeah, too much. Don't put too much salt on them. They'll die and scream. As they die. Anyway, well, that's great.
Did you do that as a kid?
What? Put snails on or salt on snails? No, I was horrified by that. I had a friend who did it, and I felt terrible because it seemed like they were in pain. That seemed awful.
Well, there was slut. I did it as a kid.
Yeah.
Did you?
Well, we always
the magnifying glass into a jar of spiders or something, but
they're like slugs. They weren't snails.
Yeah,
they're slugs.
I like this discrimination based on whether they have a shell on them or not.
Exactly. The lower class snails, the homeless snails.
Yeah, homeless snails.
Slugs.
No, for me, the animal torture for me was ants. So we would put firecrackers in ant hills, and we would do the whole, like Brian just said, the magnifying glass with ants. That's about as far as it got for me. Oh, and grasshoppers. We'd make them burp or throw up or whatever.
Didn't turn me into a serial killer.
Well, it was more like a science experiment.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
They tell you about the salt, and you're like, that's not true. Mm. And then you did it, and you're like, oh, it is true. Oh, no.
Yeah, they hate it.
World's worst science experiment.
They are not fond of it, turns out. Well, it's good to have you here. Well, yeah, I should get right into it. We do recommendals of things we've seen on streaming services. Brian often, as the case, goes first because his clip is right here in front of me, and I'm going to play it. But, Brian, do you have any setup for it?
I'm just going to say this is a 2015 film.
Okay.
That's all I'm going to say, because I bet a lot of people haven't even heard of this. I hadn't even heard of this. So.
All right. Well, let's find out by pushing play.
That's right behind you. Nick, this is Cyrus Kinnick.
Thank you. Hello, Mr. Wilde. Looked you up on an online guide to Vegas, but you weren't in it. That bothers me. Could you tell me about yourself?
You mean you want my qualifications?
Hey, Statham.
Well, mm-hmm. I've been knocked down, blown up, lied to, shit on, and shot at. So nothing surprises me much anymore, except the things that people do to each other. I'm a licensed pilot. Took karate in Tokyo. Lectured on economics at Yale. I can memorize the front pages of the New York Times in 5 minutes and repeat it back to you in 5 weeks. I was national Golden Gloves champion 3 years in a row. I'm fluent in 4 languages and can wrestle with a menu in 5 more.
Jesus.
And don't interrupt me. There's more.
More?
Yeah. I lie a lot.
I don't know what that is, but it sounds great.
That's not Cyrus, is it?
It is not, no. And at the beginning of that clip, by the way, you did hear George Costanza, Jason Alexander as well. That film is, it's based on a book called Heat by William Goldman about a soldier of fortune who lives in Las Vegas and acts as a mercenary or bodyguard. They turned it into a movie in 2015 called Wild Card, with Jason Statham, who you heard there, obviously. Milo Ventimiglia, Hope Davis, Stanley Tucci is in this. Sofia Vergara is in this.
Vergara.
Uh-huh.
And H.
Yeah.
It was a total bomb, right? Like it cost $30 million to make and it only made $6.7 million. And I don't know. It's actually it's not bad. It's pretty good. It's actually a remake of the Burt Reynolds film Heat that came out in 86. And it's absolutely worth a watch. It's not, certainly wouldn't be the worst thing I've said to watch via recommendals. And it takes place in Las Vegas. So you get my favorite thing in Las Vegas films, which is to watch somebody driving down the strip and it's all spliced and cut to where they're like completely going in a different order or a different direction than they say they're going. So it's like, all right, I've got to hit downtown to meet this client. And it's like, oh, he's passing the Stratosphere. Now he's passing Mandalay Bay. Now he's passing Monte Carlo. Now he's...
You love that when that happens in these Vegas shows.
Now he's passing Mandalay Bay again.
Mm.
Anyway, you can watch this for free on Hulu. It's also on Amazon Prime if you've got that as well. And it's called Wild Card. It's actually, like I said, it's worth watching. Milo Ventimiglia plays, a real jerk of a bad guy. Plays a really, really good bad guy.
See the Heroes kid? Guy from Heroes?
He is. Yep. Okay.
Yep. Right. Milo Ventimiglia. Yeah. There he is.
That's the one, exactly. And on This Is Us currently.
Yeah. He was on Rocky Balboa back in 06.
Oh, was he really?
Yeah. Okay. He was his son. He was his grown-up kid. And that. Yeah. I like that kid. He's all right.
He's good.
Call him kid. He's actually in his 30s, but whatever.
It's surprising for as decent a cast as it has. It's surprising that this thing went out. It was released, limited release in 2015, and then straight to video on demand. And I could have easily seen this be as prominent as Crank? Was that the other Statham or another Statham movie, right? Yeah. Where he's got to
keep his Crank 2 or whatever. Yep.
Yeah, keep his adrenaline up above a certain level.
Crank 1 had its charm. Crank 2 is terrible.
Was it?
Yeah. It's really bad. But I like Jason Statham to the point that I'll watch just about anything, even if I've heard it was bad. Because I like him. I like him a lot. What did we see him in recently on FilmSack? It was, we watched The Death Race he's in, the first Death Race remake.
Yes, right. Well, yeah. the remake.
Yeah, the remake from 2012 or 10 or whatever.
Something like that, yep.
All right, well, there you go. Is a follow-up. I don't have a clip or anything because I've had no time to watch anything new. I'm in full-court press nerdtacular training mode right now. But I can tell you that I did some homework and watched something Brian recommended, or started to anyway. I'm 2 episodes into The Handmaid's Tale.
Oh, good.
And it's awesome. That is an interesting show. And I, like I said, I read the book forever ago and was impressed by it. But, you know, that thing was written in the 80s. What surprises me is how it adheres so well to the concepts of that book, but sets it in a modern context. It doesn't try to set it in the 80s, for example. So this is a time where, you know, the internet exists and phones exist and that sort of stuff. And that makes it even more interesting for me because what they expect of these people in that story, it's crazy. I really, really like it. So I'm only 2 episodes in. Obviously, I got a lot more to go, but I'm impressed with the cast. I'm impressed with everything about it. I think it's Hulu's best original, maybe by a long shot. I think it's real, real good. So
I think so. I mean, Path, I think, is really good. Path.
I like The Path, too. I think this beats that, though.
Do you?
I do. I mean, I'm only 2 in, so maybe I'll change my mind, but
yeah.
So far, I'm really into it. And also, the Path Season 2 is kind of not working for me. It's all right.
Oh, really?
And it feels like they're just stretching things out and not...
Is that the...
For you.
What's the current... is 2 the current season they're on?
Yeah, that's the one they're on right now is 2.
Okay.
I think it's done. I'm not sure if it's done, but it's there.
No. It's still... I'm sorry. It is done. Yes. Yeah. Right, because they do the release week by week, but they've released all 13 episodes. Correct.
Yeah. I'm trying to get back into it, but it's just not pulling me in like the first season did. But this thing, I am all in on this. I'm going to watch this till my eyes are done watching it.
Very cool.
It's really good. The whole surrogate, like the surrogate mother stuff, and it's so weird. What a weird dystopic idea, and it's really well fleshed out here. And Joseph Fiennes, I don't know how he plays out in this, that character, if it's compared to the book or not, but he's perfectly creepy and weird, but kind of not. Like, I don't know. It's hard to put my finger on what I like about it, but they're really nailing it. So, and her narration's really good. The book is almost all like that. It's all narrated kind of prose style.
I forgot that you read the book. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So it's a lot like that. So having her do that is cool, even though it's a more modern take and less poetic, but it's really cool. So anyway, I'm into it. Not for the kids, everybody. Not for the kids.
No.
That I can tell you. Oh, and it's got that lady, crazy lady from The Leftovers in it. She's like the teacher woman, and she's amazing.
And Aunt something. And Yvonne Strahovski from Chuck.
Yeah, she's got her little space really between her teeth. Love that. She's great. And who else is good in there? So there's a bunch of people. The Gilmore Girls' daughters in this thing. What's her name? Is it Rory Gilmore?
Oh, Alexis
Beetlejuice. Beetlebum. Alexa
Biedel. Beetle.
Bledel.
It's an L. Okay, Bledel.
Yeah, she's in that. She's her friend in this thing. And the girl from the Orange is the New Black. Like, there's all these people. It's really good.
Right.
It's really good. Anyway, all right, Nicole.
You say from Orange is the New Black. Yeah.
I have said too much already. I'd like to hear yours because you have a clip probably, unlike me.
I do. Yeah. And it will, I'm not going to tell you much about it, but there's a reason why I'm recommending the movie. And I'll tell you after you guess it.
All right.
Ooh, bye. Cool.
Hate to mess with your groove, New York. We're about 2 years out of you on the coast. We already graduated from what's been going on to where it's going. Amen. I am he is you, or he is you, or me, and we are all together. See how they run like pigs from a gun, see how they fly. I'm crying.
I have no idea.
not only will I tell you what movie it is, but I'm going to tell you why you picked it.
Right. Tell me.
Because that's going to be the subject of Coverville today.
Oh, it is.
That the movie is Across the Universe.
Yes, it is.
And that's Bono singing I Am the Walrus.
That is.
And you picked it because tomorrow is the 50-year anniversary of the release of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
Yep, there's two reasons. So the 50th anniversary, and I started listening to the Beatles channel on Sirius XM.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. I love it so much.
Yeah, that was a good one. So wait, what's the name of the movie again?
Across the Universe. It's streaming on Netflix. Yep. It is a movie that takes... not all of them, but a lot of Beatles songs and wraps it into this wonderful narrative. It stars Evan Rachel Wood,
Jim Waterworld, Sturgis, or Westworld,
Jim Sturgis. What, he's been in a few things. That card game, was he in?
Yeah, 21.
Oh, yeah, he was great.
MIT students that did the game, the blackjack tables.
He was really good
at that. So it takes place in the 1960s, and it's around the Vietnam War, and I get chills throughout the entire movie, the way they integrate the Beatles songs into it. If you have not seen this, it's also a romance between Evan Rachel Wood and Jim Sturgis. And then, is it her brother that goes into Vietnam? He's like...
I think so, yeah.
It's her brother, yeah. It's just wonderful. There's characters that will remind you of Janis Joplin and Jimi Hendrix. That's a couple. It's just, I love this movie.
Mm-hmm. And the characters are named after characters in Beatles songs. Lovely Rita is a character, and
Jude is the name of Jim Sturgis' character. Mm. There's this really great scene that I was going to play, and it's him singing Revolution. It's actually kind of timely to watch it right now, guys.
Yeah.
So, it's just...
Hold on, Lucy, is she named Lucy because, like, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds and all that? Oh.
Yeah.
All right, I'll watch this.
A lot of psychedelics at times. The Walrus song, of course, that we just listened to. They're in a club. And it was kind of like Andy Warhol-ish, kind of.
Mm-hmm. It's funny because this feels like it should be a Baz Luhrmann film, but it's not.
Oh, really? Oh, I love Baz Luhrmann. I'm into this.
Yeah.
Okay, now you got me. So how does...
Tamor? I don't know who that is.
Yeah.
So wait, Bono's in this then? He sings in this?
There's a lot of cameos in this.
Eddie Izzard.
Okay.
Does The Benefit of Mr. Kite.
All right, I'm in.
I'm trying to remember all that. Yeah. Great soundtrack, too.
great movie.
It's got good review on IMDb. People seem to like it. I don't know how I missed it. This seems like something I would have liked to have seen when it came out, but I didn't.
Came out in 2007.
Wow.
Like, it doesn't seem like it was that long ago. What's that? 10 years ago.
It's a long time. Wow. Yeah.
10 years.
Wow.
That was sometime in the past. Sure. Oh, Julie Taymor. That's the director that you mentioned. Now I know who she is. She did Titus. I love Titus.
Oh, yeah. Right.
So
Anthony Hopkins Shakespeare deal.
Yeah. So your comparison. I think your comparison to Baz Luhrmann is a good one because her work reminds me of his a lot. Or I should say his reminds me of hers. Because I think I saw Titus before I saw some of that other stuff. But yeah, he did that Tempest remake. Or she did, rather. She did Frida. Frida's crazy good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's okay. All right, I'm in. Like, she's only done 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 7 things. 2 of them are TV shows. So of the 5 movies she's done, I don't think there's a stinker on that list. Her first movie was Titus in 99. I loved Titus. Oh my gosh! If you guys want to see the weirdest freaking thing of your life, see Titus.
And Alan, not Alan Rickman, the guy who played Nightcrawler in the first set of X-Men films.
Alan Cumming. Alan Cumming. That's the guy.
He was great. He's great in that too. In Titus.
He's a very interesting dude.
Really, really good. Yeah. Yeah, he is.
All right. Well, there you have it.
I have a bonus recommendation to throw at people.
All right. Throw it.
This is not necessarily for a recommendation for a movie or recommendal for a movie. It's actually a recommendal for 10 movies or 20 movies, depending on what you want to do. But, you know, everybody's got those iTunes cards laying around, right? Well, I don't know. I did anyway. Mm-hmm. And now is a great time. If you go to iTunes, they've got these batches of iconic films. And it's not like, all right, well, here's one good film and then 9 shitty films. It's like, oh, these are 10 really good films. For example, the 60s, iconic films of the 60s, has The Odd Couple, Alfie, Barbarella, Hud, Barefoot in the Park, Breakfast at Tiffany's, In Harm's Way, True Grit, The Italian Job, The Nutty Professor. And the 70s one has got, like, you know, Grease and I'm pulling it up right now, so I'm stalling. Paper Moon, Great Gatsby, Love Story, Out of Towners, Harold and Maude, Heaven Can Wait. On a Clear Day You Can See Forever, Bad News Bears, Plaza Suite. So really, really good films. And you get 10 per bundle, and they're $20. And so you get these, you know, these really good movies that, at least in my case, I've seen maybe two of each of these, or three of them, you know?
Yeah.
And
you can watch Grease on Netflix.
Can you?
Yeah. Well, I own that one I actually own. Out of all these, out of all 20 of the ones I named, that's the one I actually have in my possession. But
it's the one that you want. Right? That's the song from Grease, isn't it? I think so. I don't remember. That's I don't like Grease. Anyway, go on.
But it's a really good deal. So for $20, you get all 10 movies in HD. And they have it for the 80s and 90s. 90s, you get, you know, really cool Big Lebowski and Clueless, Truman Show, Galaxy Quest, Ghost, Kingpin. Or no, the 2000s you get is the one with Big Lebowski. But it's all, they're like all really good.
Really?
Movies.
Lebowski's like 98, yeah. Isn't it?
I can tell you, Scott, you're definitely not a cool writer.
Why?
Yeah, no, you're right. Lebowski was 98. I don't know why I saw that in a...
It's a Grease song.
Oh, a Grease song. Yeah, I don't know.
I need a cool writer.
I always wanted to like Grease.
That's a Grease 2 song, Nicole.
I said it was 2.
It's Grease 2.
Okay, I just said Grease. It's a Grease song. It's like, no, that's not from my Grease.
Everybody I grew up with loved Grease. I could never get into it. Don't know what my problem was. I don't know. I was too. Maybe I just thought, you know, musicals are for idiots, and now I think they're amazing, and I'd probably like it now. Maybe
well,
I should watch it.
Like Across the Universe, because it's definitely a musical. There's so much, so much singing.
All right, I'm in.
Great song.
I am in. Excellent. These are all fine recommendations, and a few bonuses as well. And look at Scott doing his homework. Wow, that's fantastic. Yeah. Nicole, anything you'd like to mention before we let you go today?
Are you guys watching John Oliver?
Yes. When HBO. When I remember to, yes, usually.
I know. I feel like when I fall behind, I'm like, that's old news.
It's not when you want to go back and watch old ones. It's like you always want to watch the most recent one. It's harder to go back.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. And I wanted to say I'm really enjoying the season.
Yeah, he's great. He's a national treasure, and he's not even American. Well, he has dual citizenship, but, you know. The British guy's doing a little bit better job than some of our American comedians. I'll just put it that way. I think he's awesome.
Good stuff.
He truly is the one, I think, to carry on Jon Stewart's torch and do it in a, you know, in a way that feels familiar but also feels uniquely his. So he's awesome. Nothing wrong with John Oliver.
Mm-hmm.
He has two first names. Hey, if you want to follow Nicole on Twitter, you can. Nicole Spag. She'll talk about these recommendations and more right there. Nicole, have a fantastic Wednesday.
Bye.
See you next time.
See ya.
Bye-bye. All right.
Very good.
That's the show, everybody. Coverville's happening later. What's happening on that show?
Well, the aforementioned Sgt. Pepper's tribute, so covers of every song on the Sgt. Pepper soundtrack, as well as a tribute, as expected, to Greg Allman, who passed away. And there's even a connection, because Greg Allman covers a Beatles song, so there'll be a nice little segue tune to get us between the two sets of music. But here, covers by Matthew Sweet, Susanna Hoffs, They Might Be Giants, Travis, Cheap Trick, Big Daddy, The Flaming Lips, all of this today on Coverville.
I missed the Greg Allman news. I had no idea that he passed away.
Wow. Yeah.
Where's the other Allman brother? Is he alive?
Dwayne Allman brother. Dwayne Allman passed away as well years ago.
Okay. Was he older or younger, or do we, you know? We don't know.
Younger.
Okay.
Younger brother.
All right.
I think. God, now I'm not sure. But they're Greg is being buried right next to him.
Okay. Here's a picture of him. Okay, now I know which brother it is. I get confused which brother is who.
Yeah.
Got it.
Greg Allman's the long blonde hair married to Cher.
That guy was a big deal, right? Oh, shit. They were married now?
No. They were, well, I guess never married, partners. They had a kid together, and they were partners for a long time.
Was that after, what's his name? Seymour? What's his I can't think of his name.
Sonny Bono?
Sonny,
yes.
Sonny Bono? Sonny Bono. After Sonny Bono.
Seymour Bono?
Yeah, Seymour Bono.
Oh, no, they were married. Okay, for some reason I thought they were...
But they weren't just married. He didn't die while they were married.
No. They had a Hollywood, marriage that was something like 3 years or something, super short.
Oh, one of those deals. She has some nice quotes in here, though. She really liked him, it looks like.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, there you go. Today, Coverville. Check it out, 1 p.m.
Yes, 1 p.m. Mountain Time and coverville.com/live.
Thank everybody for their support of the show. You can do it over at patreon.com/TMS. You can also visit our website at frogpants.com/TMS, and you'll find all our contact details and links and everything right there. Let's get out of here. So instead of a long song like mid-show, we have a short song to take us out.
That's right, exactly. So we balance things out, right? Long 6-minute song in the middle and a 2-minute song at the end. This one is a request going out to Jeremy. Jeremy says, hey, it's my birthday, so hopefully I get to listen live. Play anything by Suburban Legends. They do Disney covers. So, hey, we had our Disneyland talk earlier. Mm-hmm. You don't have to wait 7 hours to listen to this one, though. It is a cover of A Dream is a Wish Your Heart Makes. Mm. This is from their 2013 tribute album called Dreams Aren't Real, But These Songs Are. Here is Suburban Legends.
A dream is a wish your heart makes when you're fast asleep. In dreams you will lose. In your dreams and someday your rainbow will come shining through. No matter how your heart is screaming, if you keep on believing, the dreams that you wish will come true. Let's say will. All you gotta do is believe. Yeah. The dreams that you wish will come true. That you wish will come true.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
Your best.